John answered them, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Words from Luke chapter 3, verse 16. The sacrament of baptism is based on a ritual that is, I hope, as old as humanity itself, the act of washing. Most of us wash ourselves one way or another quite frequently, every day, and we think little of it. Not only do we wash our entire body regularly by bathing or showering, but we wash our hands, our face, our feet, and any other part of the body that may need it at various times of the day, and especially before eating and perhaps before we go to bed and when we wake up in the morning. We also wash our clothing, the dishes we use to eat, our cars, and sometimes even our houses. And then there are all our other acts of grooming, such as combing, brushing, and cutting our hair, trimming our nails, shaving, well, for some of us anyway, and all of the other things we do to make ourselves look good and presentable to the people around us. In fact, we put quite a bit of effort into cleaning our bodies and making ourselves presentable. It is simply a part of our everyday life. Most of the time, we think nothing of it. But if we think about it, life without washing is something we would probably prefer not to think about. Recently, I've been watching the reruns of some of the old MASH episodes, the series that ran between 1972 and 1983, and I think has been running in reruns ever since. And in one episode, the two leading characters, Captain Hawkeye Pierce and Captain B.J. Honeycutt, go on a shower strike in protest against the rather bad French horn playing of their tent mate, the highborn and sanctimonious Major Charles Emerson Winchester III, who is, I must say, as an experienced French horn player, a really bad French horn player. So they had plenty to protest about. Now, Hawkeye and BJ get progressively smellier as the show progresses, until they are barred from entering the mess tent. A special table is set up for them outside where they have their own table for two and where they can't even stand the smell of each other. Finally, the entire camp forms a posse to hose them down, douse them with soapy water, and give them a scrub. And meanwhile, Charles's offending French horn is dealt with rather finally by running over it with a jeep so that he can no longer plague the camp with his terrible French horn playing. Now, fortunately, most of us don't allow ourselves to go out without bathing for long enough to be the target of spontaneous mob activity. But there are some unfortunates in our society who either do not or cannot bathe. They generally live on the fringes of society outdoors, eating and sleeping separately from the rest of society. I'm referring, of course, to the homeless, not all of whom are careless of their personal grooming. Some simply happen not to have a place to live at this point. But many of them do not take care of their bodies as polite society believes that we should do. And their unwashed condition is an emblem of their position outside of acceptable society. Yes, we tend to take washing for granted until we encounter those who don't wash, and then we realize not only what a regular part of our lives it is to keep on cleaning ourselves, but also what a critical part of our life it is. Because not washing not only has social consequences, but also consequences for our health. The dirtier we get, the more likely we are to contract various sicknesses that come with the growing filth. And it can even become life-threatening. In short, dirtiness is a hazard both to our social relationships and to our health, and persistent dirtiness is usually a sign that something is seriously wrong with us. Perhaps this all sets the stage for an understanding not only of the necessity, but also of the power of the sacrament of baptism. Of course, as a physical act, baptism doesn't accomplish much. Now, some Christians, such as our brothers and sisters, the Baptists, practice full immersion baptism. And you could say that once they come out, they're a little bit cleaner than when they went in. But if they wanted to do a really effective job, they'd do it in the bathtub in the shower, not in the horse trough that's often used for the Baptists as their favorite place of baptism. In our church, as in many other churches, we use only a symbolic amount of water, making a cross over the forehead and the heart of the infant. And it's clear that, physically speaking, it really doesn't accomplish very much. So from a skeptical point of view, we could say, why do we bother? Clearly, the purpose of baptism is not physical washing. In fact, John the Baptist himself pointed to the deeper meaning of baptism when he told the people, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John introduced people into the Christian church with the baptism of water, but he understood that this was only an introduction, that the real baptism was a matter of spirit and of spiritual fire, spiritual water and fire. So what does baptism do for us spiritually? By itself, if we take it as a mere ritual, it does very little. But even as a mere ritual, it does accomplish at least one thing. It introduces us into the Christian church. Baptism is universally recognized by Christians as the sign that a person is a Christian. And though some Christian churches require rebaptism into their own church, our church and many others recognize any Christian baptism as a sign that the person is or can become a Christian. And this leads to the second power that baptism carries with it. Once we are part of the Christian church, we have conscious access to the one for whom the church is named, Jesus Christ. Of course, anyone of any religion can read the Gospels and learn from the wisdom of Christ. I'm reminded of Gandhi, who loved the Gospels and took great inspiration from them in the wonderful work that he did in India. But only Christians will approach Jesus Christ as God with us, as the unique human presence of the God and Creator of the universe. When we call ourselves Christians and introduce our infants and children into the Christian church, through baptism, we bring ourselves and our children into the church where we can know, love, and follow our Lord God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And notice that we are not only to know the Lord Jesus Christ, but also to love and to follow Him. And this leads to the third power of baptism, the power to bring about our spiritual rebirth or regeneration. It is not enough merely to be called a Christian and to believe in Jesus Christ. The Lord Himself says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven." It is no accident that the Lord chose a ritual of washing to symbolize introduction into the Christian church. But the washing that He wished to lead us to was not physical washing, as important to our life on earth as that is, but rather spiritual washing, which is essential for our life, not just here, but to eternity. You see, even if, as we believe, there is no such thing as original sin, there certainly are many inborn tendencies toward evil in each one of us. And I think we all realize that each one of us has also indulged in many words and actions that are not right. In plain and biblical terms, we have all said and done things that are evil. We have all sinned. It says in the Old Testament, all we like sheep have gone astray, each to our own way. Those things within us that we do that are wrong, and those wrong thoughts and feelings are like internal dirt that clings to us and causes us to become odious to the people around us and to sink into spiritual disease and death. And of course, as long as we are spiritually filthy, we can never enter the eternal brightness and purity and beauty of heaven. To do that, we must wash ourselves and make ourselves clean through the practice of inner baptism, which is, with the Lord's help and in the Lord's power, to cleanse our lives of all evil thoughts and feelings and actions. As we do this, we become Christians not only in name, but also in spirit and in reality. And this is the true power of baptism. The power to make us new creations in Christ. Amen.